welcome, welcome everybody to New Covenant Worship Center. We are live here in the building, amen, for this second Sunday in the month of April on this Family and Friends Day, on this Palm Sunday, amen. We are welcoming in into the time and season of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his resurrection on next week. So we just giving God glory. We giving him thanks for his triumphant entry on this Palm Sunday. And we're excited about this season, amen. We thank God that the sun is shining. We had a rainy week, amen. But we're grateful that God is shining his grace upon us on today. And I don't know about you, but I want you all to get into the presence of the Lord this morning. I want you to set the atmosphere in your home, wherever you're watching at this morning, on YouTube, on Facebook. Come on, let's begin to saturate the atmosphere. Begin to share this. We need you to share, like, and comment. This is going to be an amazing service today. We got praise and worship. We got the word of God. And I'm telling you, his power and his glory is going to meet us in this place. So don't forget, you all in the building, you got two good legs and they can hold you up on this morning. Let's stand to our feet and let's begin to give the Lord another great hand praise for his worthiness, for his kindness, for his love towards us. Glory to his name. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, God, to give you all the thanks, God. Lord, we come to give you glory today, God. We come to magnify you and glorify your holy name on today, God. Lord, we come to bless you this morning, God. We come to exalt you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Father God. Lord, we thank you for your anointing this morning, God. We thank you for your loving kindness this morning, Father God. We thank you for waking us up, clothing our right mind, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for the activities of our limbs on today, Father God. That we ask that you would just move in this place like never before, God. As we welcome you, Father God, we welcome your presence, God. We welcome your power today. We welcome your authority on today, Father God. That you will move freely in this place like never before, Father God. Lord, bring forth healing today, God. Bring forth strength and deliverance like never before, Father God. That, Lord, your presence will reign in this place on today, Father God. Lord, we thank you for your love today, God. We thank you for your grace and mercy, Father God. And Lord, we ask you to release your power in this place on today, God. That, Lord, yokes will be destroyed, God. That burdens shall be lifted, God. And that the power of your word will be made manifest, God. Lord, we stir up this atmosphere this morning, God. That your Holy Spirit, Lord, will take full control on today, Father God. For we are yielded vessels unto you on today, God. We are your servants on today, God. And we yield to your instruction, God. We yield to your commands today, God. We yield to your way on today, Father God. And we ask you to use us for your glory, Father God. Release your anointing, God. That, Lord, yokes will be destroyed, God. That burden shall be lifted like never before, Father God. And, Lord, we just welcome you, Father God. We welcome your glory on today, God. We welcome your power and your grace and your love and your compassion, God. That, Lord, you're filling us up on today, God. You're strengthening us, Father God. And, Lord, we release the power of your anointing, God. That we're going higher in you on today, Father God. That, Lord, we're removing the restrictions, God. We're taking off the limitations, God. And, Lord, we're releasing your anointing. Anointing, God. We're releasing your power in the atmosphere, God. But you have given us power over all the powers of the enemy, God. And we shall tread upon scorpions and serpents, God. And nothing shall by any means hurt us on today, God. We thank you that the weapons of our warfare, God, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, God. And Lord, we ask that you begin to heal, God. Begin to heal the bodies of those who are dealing with sickness, disease, and infirmity, God. That, Lord, you're supernaturally able to do it, God. You're supernaturally able, God. That they don't have to go to the surgery table, God. But, Lord, you're going to supernaturally, God, touch our bodies, God, and remove cancer, remove diabetes, remove high blood pressure, God. Remove every infirmity, any sickness in our body, God. For our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, God. And, Lord, we speak life over us on today, God. We speak blessings, God. We speak strength over our body, God. Our lungs are operating the way you created them to function, God. Our heart is functioning, God. Our liver, our kidney, our spleen, God. Our small intestine, large intestine, God. We are covered in your blood on today, Father. And Lord, we love you, God. For by your stripes, we are healed on today, God. And we decree and declare your anointing, God. Move in this place, God. Stir up this atmosphere, Father, God. Strengthen and heal your people, God. Remove, God, the weights on today, Father, God. That's what you're going to get the glory, God. We come to give you the glory, God. As the sound begins to come, as we begin to usher in his presence through praise and worship. God, we love you. God, we adore you.
Oh, anoint today. Hallelujah. No longer bound, oh God. But we are free, oh God. Free to be who you created us to be. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we've been fearfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah. So we're free to be who God has called us to be. Hallelujah. Such an amazing God. Such a powerful God. I'm excited. Hallelujah. Come on, this is Palm Sunday. Glory to God. And you know the story. Jesus rolled in on a donkey. Hallelujah. And the people began to cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna. And me and the apostle was talking like, why did he ride in on that donkey? Because he didn't want you to get caught up on how he came. He wanted you to be caught up on who he is. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See, he don't want you to get caught up in the light, the camera, action. He wants you to get caught up in the power. Hallelujah. His power and who he is. The power to save. The power that sets you free. That you can easily sing freedom. Hallelujah. What he is amazing. For the Mashiach and the Mashiach. Can we sing about his miracles? Here we go.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you.
Come on, none like you.
None like you.
I love this part. Into the darkness.
Into the darkness we shine, and out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you.
Come on, not like you, Jesus.
Search
all over, there's
a light.
My God is for me.
come on and give it up for the band. Give it up for the sound. We have an amazing praise and worship team. We thank God for Brother Tyler being back in. It's something about that bass line. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I don't know what other place I would rather be than in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, his goodness and his mercy, his love towards us, amen, his kindness towards us, amen, is absolutely amazing. Amen. Listen, I'm excited about what God is doing in this place today and what God is going to do. I'm in great expectation for a mighty move of God. Amen. Listen, we're going to prepare to move forward in our service, amen. We're going to prepare to sow and give on this morning. This is our opportunity where we can all participate and bless the Lord for his faithfulness and his kindness towards us, amen. For those of you all who are watching online, you can go to our website. You can go to www.newcovnc.com. Click the Give tab and you can give online. Those of you all who have the Easy Time app, go ahead on and download the app, amen. And you can just look for New Covenant Worship Center, Jody and Illinois. Download the app, get it on your phone, and you can give anywhere, anytime through Easy Time, amen. Those of y'all who still putting that check or that money order in the mail, mail it to 2423 Glenwood Avenue, Joliet, Illinois, 60435. Amen. And we'll be so gracious, amen, and thankful for receiving your seed in the mail. Amen. Amen. Those of y'all who are in the building, amen, if you need an envelope, please raise your hand. Brother Terrence will supply you with an envelope. Those of y'all who are in the building, God bless you, Brother Jeremy. We appreciate you, man of God. Amen. Listen, we're grateful, amen, for what God is doing. We're still moving forward in our debt freedom seed. Last week, we raised, I believe it was $555, amen. Now it brings our total. We have raised $14,729, amen. I'm telling you, that's a good place to give God glory. We're believing God to pay off this building, amen, in the beginning of next year. So we are now only need somebody to write a check for $35,271, amen. I release it in the atmosphere. I speak it into the existence of God's manifestation of his power. That I expect somebody watching online that's a millionaire, they got that extra $35,000 just sitting in an account. And they said, you know what, I want to bless a church this week. I want to sow into somebody's life. I believe it, amen. It can happen if you don't speak it, because the Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And you got to call those things to be not as though they were, amen. So you got to have faith enough to put it in the atmosphere that somebody will answer the call, amen. Somebody will begin to move and God will touch their heart. And you don't know who it can be, amen. Oh, I feel the blessings of the Lord today, amen. Hallelujah. So we are grateful for everybody that's sowing toward the vision and supporting the vision, amen. It is absolutely a blessing. Zeros in that seed. 1, 3 zeros. 1, 0, 3 more zeros. I don't know about you. I'm believing God that I want to sow a $10,000 check in the ministry, and it don't even bother me. And that's just seed money that I sow. Amen. You got to believe God for that level of expectation and believe God to have those types of resources. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Real quick, we're going to move into our announcements. Announcements, we all set? Amen.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to New Covenant Worship Center. I have the Sunday morning announcements. We have Sunday school at 9 a.m. to 9:45. We have it in the building.
Good morning, New Covenant Worship Center. Sunday service starts at 10 o'clock every morning. Come join us in the building. Come praise and worship and hear the word of God. Also, Thursday nights at 6:30 p.m. is Bible study. Come pray with us and then hear the word of God.
Hey, y'all, what's happening? It's me again, Brother Thomas. Letting y'all know about Tuesday's men's prayer, 8:30 p.m. Tuesdays. You want to call on in, get the number. It is free-ish. Men's prayer, 8:30 on Tuesday.
Join us on Wednesday mornings for our fast, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on fruit, juice, nuts, water, and a small salad.
Join us for Peace in Our School prayer, Wednesday, 8:30 on Facebook Live.
Join us on Saturday at 7 a.m. for the Movement Ministry, where we have Apostle Jonas Jones and we have Deacon Bryant. They are on the move. You have to catch up with them because they go for miles and miles and miles. Join them. Have a great day.
All right, everyone. We have a special announcement from our youth ministry.
For all the kids out there, it's time for bowling. It's on April 23rd. That's a Saturday. $4 for shoes and $5 per game.
I'll get your
And we give God praise. Thank God for our media team and our announcers this morning. Amen. All right. I'm excited about this. Is our first membership completion for 2022. Amen. I'm telling you, we've been in this pandemic and it's just been something. Amen. A little over 2 years now, but God is good. Amen. But I'm excited, amen, to present this morning to Brother Jesse and Sister Shante. Jesse Walker has completed the required course of study approved by the Board of Education and is therefore entitled to full membership in New Covenant Worship Center, presented at New Covenant Worship Center, Joliet, Illinois, April 3rd, 2022. Well, today is April the 10th. So come on up, Brother Jesse and Sister Shante. Yeah. We appreciate you all. Yeah. Amen. We appreciate you all. Y'all be blessed. Shante is my high school classmate. Amen. We thank God. Purely Condors for life. Amen. South side of Chicago. Amen. I didn't grow up in Joliet. Amen. Y'all don't know nothing about Curie. Amen. But it's the bestest. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look, we give God praise. I'm excited about this word today and what God is going to do in the building. Last week was phenomenal. As we opened up our new series, The Kingdom Citizen, and we just began to share and talk about we're dealing with the movie Coming to America. So if anybody recalls and remembers the movie Coming to America, I need you to go ahead in your memory bank and ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, take me back to 1988 to remember that particular Coming to America. Amen. Where we have this print, we have Prince Hakeem from Zamunda, and his he was to come to America looking for a wife. After he decided he didn't want to go the traditional route of what was set up and arranged for him in his particular kingdom of Zamunda. And so as he found himself going to America, they spun the little globe around and they landed on Queens. And they said, you know what, this looks like a good place to find a wife. But they didn't understand, you know, the particular setting. They didn't understand where they were going because they weren't familiar with America. They're from another kingdom. And so when we talk about being from another kingdom, we as kingdom citizens in the kingdom of God, yes, we should operate at a level of excellence, a level of what God has called us to operate in to exemplify the kingdom of God in everything that we do. So just because we're in the world does not mean we're of the world. Just because we live in the world, we should not present ourselves as being of the world. There should be uniqueness. There should be difference. There should be something that stands out about us so that the world will begin to be drawn to us. Because why? We're operating and showing forth what a kingdom citizen looks like. The kingdom should be attractive. You know, every time we talk about, when I talked about the kingdom of God and taught this years ago, and I used that picture of the Magic Kingdom in Disney World. And when you go to the Magic Kingdom, all your troubles go away. You know, you go to the Magic Kingdom, you know, you go into this fantasy world. Everything is, you know, is just in awe and amazement. And it begins to take you into an area where you're not used to. You go into another kingdom. That Magic Kingdom is not what you're accustomed to. You may live on the, in a city or urban area, in a suburban area. But when you go into the kingdom, you see kings and queens and princes and you see princes. You see all the things of royalty. You see the wealth. You see everything that exudes and begins to exemplify what the kingdom of God looks like. And so we have to use our imagination to begin to get to that point in place to know that we have to represent the kingdom of God well here on earth. Because we're his representation on the earth. Jesus Christ has left and he said, I leave you the comforter. I leave you the Holy Spirit. And you shall go into the highways and byways and go into the uttermost parts of the earth and go forth and share the good news of the gospel. You shall begin to have power once the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And so we have the obligation and we have the particular commandment to go forth and do what God has called us to do. But we have to understand the value of representing the kingdom well, because so many things are going on even in this day and time. If anybody knows anything, they're watching anything about church news and everything is going on with the Hillsong ministry, that particular whole organization where the leader has stepped down. There are allegations of sexual abuse, sexual misconduct, financial misconduct, all types of things. This church has 120 churches across the world, and so can you imagine how many people are impacted. So many pastors are stepping down, stepping away. There are so many people that are hurting in the body of Christ, when the body of Christ is supposed to be a place of help and healing and restoration. And so this is why we have to be in a position to teach people and to begin to get into the Word of God, to begin to identify what the kingdom of God looks like and how we should represent him. Because as you were trained up as a child, your mama instructed you. Let me just talk about my mama, because I don't know what your mama did, but I know mama did. My mama would tell me, when you go in this store or you go outside with me, you're representing me. And don't you go in here and act up and act a fool in this store, embarrassing me. Yes. Now, I'm the one acting up. How am I embarrassing you? Just because I'm with you, I'm representing her because I'm her child. And what people do, they look at the child because the child is under the responsibility of the parent. And so now the parent has control to be able to tell and instruct that child how they should act. So as God being our father, and he is the ruler of the kingdom, there are certain ways that we're supposed to be acting and beginning to show forth how we represent him. You don't have to have a cross or a Bible. You have to represent him in your lifestyle, because Paul represented him from the prison gates. He represented him locked up behind walls, and he began to share and he began to encourage the people, and God began to do great exploits even in prison. So no matter where you find yourself, just as King Prince Hakeem and Simi found themselves in America, they were still operating at the level of kingdom where they were from, because they didn't begin to do what the culture was trying to get them to do. They didn't understand how Daryl was acting all offensive and being nasty toward Lisa, who now Prince Hakeem had an interest in, but she already had a boo. So Prince Hakeem was trying to win her from him, because Daryl was a real shady guy. He was real arrogant, real prideful. He thought he had it going on because he had some money, but he didn't realize the type of money that Prince Hakeem really had, because he stepped out of his kingdom in the natural, but he still represented the kingdom of Zamunda by mopping floors and cleaning up and cooking burgers and fries. He didn't allow where he was from to begin to now get all puffed up and prideful and say, well, I can't mop no floors. Well, I can't do this because that's not in my status. That's not who I represent. No, the kingdom of God is full of servants. He's not going to call you prophet or apostle or pastor when he comes through the doors and say, he's going to say, good and faithful servant. That's who I'm looking for. He's looking for servants who will represent the kingdom. And that's why he had to get the disciples in line. He said, who will be the greatest in the kingdom? He said, the least of these that will begin to do these types of things to show forth kindness to these people. This is how you represent the kingdom. It's about getting low. That's why me and my wife, she had shared earlier, praise and worship, when we were talking about why did Jesus come in at this low and humble state? Because everybody around him was expecting the king and the chariot and the horses and this triumphant entry, because people were so attached to what an image was. Yeah. And in the body of Christ, as we have grown and as the body of Christ has evolved, we are people who are driven by images. And if you don't image or represent a certain look, a certain standard, or a certain status, people won't receive you. So Jesus had to come in a different way in order to now debunk the particular mindset that if only way for me to represent a kingdom is to come in with horses and chariots. No, I'm coming in low and meek and humble, riding on a donkey. Because why? I don't want you to be attached to an image of what a kingdom looks like when your heart is still jacked up. When your life is still jacked up. I come to heal the inward man. And when the inner man is healed, that outward showing is going to be represented. Because there are a lot of people that put on a good show on the outside, but they're dying on the inside. They're depressed. They have anxiety. They're worried. They're stressed. They have so many issues and burdens. And you can cover it well on the outside. But you know what? I need help. I need deliverance. I need change in my life. And you got to be willing to surrender to the kingdom of God and say, God, I need you today. God, I need deliverance. God, I need a change in my life. God, I need you to help me through this because I can't make it on my own. I've been trying to figure it out. I've been trying to work it out and nothing's going my way. I need a change. Listen, I haven't even got to my message, y'all. Y'all got to come on and get with it. I got to move forward and get to the meat of this thing. I'm just giving you a little appetizer. Mess around here, you don't want to eat the meal. So listen. Today, I want to encourage and I want to talk about kingdom citizens, we fight different. Kingdom citizens, we fight different. Now, you see me in this camouflage. That's what the world is trained to fight in. That's what in the natural we fight according to the weapons in the natural. In this camouflage and army fatigue. You go to military and they train you to fight. They train you for war. They train you for combat and battle. But when you come into the kingdom of God, there are new strategies that have to be learned. There are new methods that you have to begin to gain and begin to put into your repertoire. Because now I'm no longer operating as the world would think I should operate, and I can't fight the way I used to fight before I was born again. How many of us will be honest with ourselves and, you know, at some point in time, and, you know, you just go ahead and raise your hand. Have you ever been in any fight? Ain't nobody gonna see you. They still gonna be looking for you tomorrow. You know, it's all right. You done the fight. I hope you ain't been in a fight yesterday. It's okay. I hope it was some years ago. I hope nobody was fighting yesterday. You know, this was your hideout spot today. I'm going to go to church. I know they ain't going to come looking for me up in there. That's a safe haven. Because they was heathen while I was fighting. But I was at the club fighting them last night. I know they ain't coming to church. Because they stayed and left later than I did. I left at 2. They stayed till 4. So I should be all right. Oh, I'm sorry. Don't nobody go to club and get out at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's your old man. Amen. That's the old man. Everybody here is a new creature in Christ. We're new creatures in Christ. Amen. So listen. So what has to happen is that we have to begin to develop into changing our strategy of how we fight. Because what the enemy tries to do is to keep you fighting on his level. And the longer you fight according to the way the world standard is, the more you're going to be bogged down, defeated, and depressed, and rejected, and all these various things, they're going to come upon you because you're choosing to fight according to a way that the kingdom of God has now, this is not how you're supposed to fight. This is not what your strategy is. And so you have to develop in that skill set of the kingdom. A lot of you all know how to handle a knife. A lot of you all know how to handle a gun. A lot of you all know how to handle a particular physical weapon in your hand. But how many of us has developed our prayer life? How many of us have developed a fasted life? How many of us have developed a lifestyle of being in the Word of God? Because these are the weapons that are going to carry you through the challenges that are going to come your way. Because listen, the warfare is not carnal. The warfare is spiritual. So the battle that you fight is in that mind. And so you got to be able to fight through emotional stress. You got to be able to fight through those spiritual battles, because wicked rulers in high places are creating chaos. How many of you all remember the particular story where Daniel was fasting and the angel of the Lord said, I had been, when you first prayed, I heard you, but for 3 weeks I was fighting with the prince of Persia because there was a war in the heavenlies. So I was trying to get to you. I was trying to get you your answer, but there was a spiritual battle that was going on that you were not privy to because you were in the earth realm. And so here it is. I have to understand, because when I'm a kingdom citizen, I fight at a different level. I fight with different weapons. I fight at a different standard. I'm beyond the heavyweights. I'm beyond that status class. I'm beyond that. And so I fight on a whole nother level. Tell somebody in the comments, I fight on another level. So listen, I got to get to scripture, y'all, because I told y'all, if you get too much of this appetite, you're not going to want the meal.
Right.
Yes. You done ate 3 of them wings and there's only 6 on the plate. Slow down. It's an appetizer. Come on. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 first. And then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 10. And then we're going to kind of break some things down and we're going to go home. Oh, this is good. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm in the New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting, listen to this, people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. Oh my God. It says we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. But God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So now the first thing that I need you to identify with, and the first thing that I need you to understand if you're going to fight different, is that you have to understand that the old life is gone. That you are now a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. I have to acknowledge that, and I have to be in a mindset to constantly remind myself, because the old man's going to try to rise up. He in there, but the Holy Spirit keeps him in check, because Holy Spirit is your weapon of discipline to begin to discipline that old man who tries to come up when the flesh gets the road rising up and people try to agitate you and bring you in the flesh. And you got to understand, I got to stay in the spirit. Because you got to understand that the scripture says that to be spiritually minded is life and peace, but to be carnally minded is death. So I have to constantly keep my mind in the spirit realm so that the enemy does not get me caught up and moving in my carnal, in my fleshly nature, because that's the enemy's assignment. He wants to get me in that place and in that realm. So I have to realize it. Listen what it says. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. I don't care what you used to be. I don't care how you used to act. I don't care how many poles you went up and down, how many banks you robbed, how many people you stuck up, how many people you killed. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are forgiven under the blood of Jesus, and you have now been bought with the price. You are not your own. Jesus Christ's blood has forgiven you, cleansed you, and washed you so that you can now be one with him again. It says, the old life is gone. A new life has begun. And I love the next verse. It says, and all of this is a gift from God. So what I'm saying is, you don't have to work for this. You don't have to put in no time. You don't have to punch a clock for this. You don't have to put in so many hours for this. You don't have to physically do this. The gift is given to you if you believe the gift. Do you believe what God is giving you so that I can operate at a kingdom citizen status? Because I want to be at the place to know I want my new life to flourish and my old man to never, ever, ever come back in, because in my new life, God said he's going to give me joy. He's going to give me peace. He's going to allow me to have abundant life. He's going to give me everything that I desire. Yes. Why? If I stay focused on my new life.
Yes, sir. Good work.
Don't push and get back to the old life. Don't go back to the old mindsets.
That's right. Yes.
The old people. I keep telling y'all, delete them numbers. Throw that black book away. You're still holding on to it. Just in case it don't work out. You know, I got to keep me a backup in my back pocket. Just in case Charlie starts tripping, I got Chuck. So listen what happens. The reason why this gift has been given to us, that we have to understand we're new creatures in Christ, is because we have the task of reconciling people back to God. So I can't be fighting in the physical every weekend and think I'm going to reconcile somebody to Christ. Because I'm acting contrary to what kingdom represents and what kingdom looks like. That person should see you when flesh tries to come at you. You should be at a place where they see you restrained and handling it in a manner where it's not combative, or in a place where it will misrepresent or mishandle how the kingdom looks like. So now, I'm gonna read a couple of these scriptures, and we're gonna go to 2 Corinthians 10. It says, "For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them." You gotta understand, God is not counting sin against us. We're gonna fall short. We're gonna miss the mark. We're gonna make mistakes. But for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So you gotta be willing to share your story of how God reconciled you back to Him, because we all have a history. We all have a past. We all have something that we've dealt with and we've gone through, and we can't get in a place to now be so self-righteous and judgmental when somebody's going through something right now, just because you was going through it 10 years ago and they're going through it now. Now you look at them cross-eyed. They're just in their season of getting to their breakthrough, just as you feel at your place in your season 10 years ago trying to get to your breakthrough. And now that you've broken through, you should be able to reconcile and instruct and encourage and say, you know what, I've been there. I know, just hold on. It's not going to be that long. It's not going to be forever. You're going to come through this, because I fought through it, I overcame it, and I'm telling you, God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I gotta move forward because I got a lot more to cover, y'all. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I read all that. You got to read some more of it when you get home. What's my next book? That's what I tell you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is a good class. I know I didn't give you a verse. I'm gonna give it to you right now. You ready for it? Verse 4. No, we're gonna start at verse 3. You ready? Because we fight different, right? Put that in the comments on Facebook and YouTube, and then tell your neighbor, we fight different.
We fight different.
All right. Y'all said it like you fighting Smurfs. We fighting giants, Goliaths. I fight different. So listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's look at verse 3. We're in the New Living Translation, NLT version. It says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And after you have become fully obedient, we will punish everyone who remains disobedient.
Come on.
Oh my God. Let me read that out the Message translation, all right? Yeah, that just hits you right in the face. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in the Message version. For all my people that's got still a little hood in them, this gonna be your kind of language. That ratchet in there, just keep it to the, just get a little ratchet when necessary. Just don't go all the way ratchet. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. It says, the world is unprincipled. It's dog eat dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have, never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing the entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. Amen. That's the Message translation. So, in other words, what he's saying, he's letting us know that we have a different set of weapons to use.
Yes.
That we don't fight as the world has been trained to fight in.
Amen.
It says the world doesn't fight fair. And we need to understand that. We need to encourage and teach our children the world doesn't fight fair.
Come on.
The world is not a video game. The world is not an imaginary place. The world is not always going to say yes to you. The world is not always going to do what you desire and want for you to do and get in return what you expect to get in return. You have to understand the world doesn't fight fair. But we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have, never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are demolishing the entire massively corrupt culture. Listen, the weapons that we fight with can tear down corrupt cultures. So this is why the body of Christ, we have to understand that we have to fight different, because why? The world is constantly trying to influence our children, influence the kingdom of God to be able to succumb to their mindset, their will, their way, and their way of doing things, and we're acceptable. Steve Harvey said something that was really amazing. He said Hollywood is so hypocritical. He said, Will Smith plays in movies violent characters, but as soon as he gets violent, now they want to do things to ban and disrupt his money flow. But violence in movies is what's keeping Hollywood going. How hypocritical is that? That as soon as he acts out in the things that he's been acting out and portraying in an image on movies, now he acts it out in real life. Now there's a problem. But see, that's why you have to be careful what you play and how you play around with things, because sometimes those things will give birth to real life instances that you don't understand, that now they have full consequences, because this thing isn't scripted, baby. This is not a movie. This is not a production cast. It's not the end of the movie where it's gone and nothing really happened. It was all imagination. No, it was real life. You went up there and slapped that man, took his seat, and he should have been escorted out at that moment. But because of his status, he makes money for them. He makes money for the industry. So they're going to make you think there's some things that's going on. It's not going to happen. They say they're putting a pause on these movies. It's going to be a pause. It's not going to be not. It's not going to come out. It's going to come out. Watch. The movie's going to still be made. Everything's going to go forward because this is what they do. We use our power, our powerful God tools for smashing, listen to this, warped philosophies. Because I told you we're fighting in the spiritual realm.
Yes.
We're fighting against mentalities, ideologies.
Yes.
It says, God's tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God. We're in a dispensation where everybody is saying the Bible ain't real. The Bible's not to be, you shouldn't take it literally. You shouldn't use the Bible. The Bible is encouraging slavery. The Bible's encouraging this. The Bible is doing this, and it's the white man's Bible. It's the green man's Bible. It's the purple man's Bible. All this stuff is out there in the atmosphere. If you're in the area where when you hear that and you're around that, because it's out there. So many things are coming against the word of God. And so many people are grabbing hold to it because they're only establishing a doctrine on one area. We can't establish the kingdom of God on one area of thought.
Yes.
The Bible is from Genesis to Revelation. And we have to get a full understanding of what the word of God is, because the word of God gives us great wisdom, great instruction, great counsel. There are so many things that the word of God is used to enhance our lives that we have to dig into that. But what the enemy does, if he can get you caught up on one thing that's negative or one thing that stands out that you disagree with, you grab hold and fall in line with the bandwagon, and now you disregard the word of God, and now you find yourself telling yourself, I don't believe in church no more. I don't believe in God no more. I ain't going to church ever again. And like them folks is hypocrites, fake, phony, robbers, thieves, and killers. I ain't going up in that no more.
Yeah.
let enough hell come in your life. Apostle, I know I ain't seen you in a long time, and I ain't been there, but I know you can get a prayer through it. Apostle, can you please pray for me? Because I'm in something right now. I don't know what I was thinking about and what I was going through, but it was messed up. And I went out there and I got from up under the covering and I messed up and I did this. And you know what? You still got to be in a position because the kingdom sinner still comes in and he prays and he intercedes and he begins to instruct and encourage. You can't hold on to where they left at. You got to meet them where they're at right now. And if they're willing to come back to God, I heard Evangelist say last week or whatever it was, she said, praying for the backsliders to come back. And that's the thing that God will begin to do. Somebody text me, you hadn't texted me in a long while, and they said, I ain't forgot about you and Apostle and Pastor East. She said, I was listening to the message doing this and that, and I'm still encouraged. I'm still watching online, and I thank God for that encouragement. I said, I still love you too. We still, it's all good. Whether you're here online, we still family. And we have to begin to have the love of God for people and to understand that's what's going to draw them. That's what's going to draw them. The love of God. Amen. Y'all, get mother, you need some water?
No, thanks.
Okay, I heard you say your throat was getting dry. We gonna take care of you now. You know that.
Thank you,
Pastor. All right. Okay. We got all that down, right? Those are my main scriptures. Now that I want to give you some examples because we're going somewhere today. I don't want you to think I got this backpack on for nothing. Pastor Denise. You're so nosy. What's in my backpack? Warriors don't tell other people what's in their backpack. You can't expose your weapons. You just have to reveal them in the time of the battle. Goliath did not know what was in David's slingshot. All right, y'all ready? Y'all ready to go there, right? Okay, now let me give you the examples of how we work, how we fight different. So now, let's go to David since I just brought him up just then. David, here it is. He's in a position where God has allowed him to be chosen to be the next king of Israel. Now, he was not his father's choice. He was the one who was still out tending to the sheep. And Samuel had to ask, well, do you have another son? And so they called in David from outside tending to the sheep. And they brought him in and the Lord said, anoint him. So David is anointed as king. He has now, all of his brothers who are older than him, more skilled in different areas than him, they've been passed up. So now David is chosen to be anointed as king, but once he's anointed king, he doesn't go to the throne. He goes back to tending to sheep because there are some things of warfare that he still has to learn by tending sheep.
Yeah.
Now listen to this. So as David is tending sheep, he goes back to the assignment. His brothers are sent off to go forth in battle and fight with King Saul. So at the battle, they go forth, and now this uncircumcised Philistine is throwing out threats. Goliath is coming against the children of Israel, and he's beginning to say, oh, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to murder you. I'm going to take you down. He's throwing all these threats out. And so now David is given an assignment. He said, look, I need, his father sent him. He said, go take some grilled cheese sandwiches to your brothers. And some Lay's chips. They got to be Lay's. Don't bring no J's or no Vittles. Bring Lay's chips to him and a Pepsi. Don't you bring him no Coke. I'm just trying to get you where I'm at. So y'all keep supporting me and, you know, I pay my bills and do what I need to do because I work in the secular with PepsiCo Company. Amen? So anyway, Jesse took the chips, grilled cheese, and the Pepsi. I mean, Jesse told David. David took it. He got down there and they was in this battle and going back and forth, and David overheard them saying what Goliath was going to do. And David told his brothers and told them, and he told the people, he said, listen, I can take on that giant. I'm paraphrasing the story. He said, I can take on that giant. His brother was like, man, get out of here. You're a little, go back home and tend to the sheep. That's what he told him. He said, go back home and tend to the sheep. You know, you out here just to be nosy and see what's going on. So King Saul agrees to allow David to go and go against Goliath. King Saul tries to put the garments of him and his warfare, his shield, his armor on David. David said, I'm not trained in this. I don't fight like you've been accustomed to fighting. David said, I've never gone to boot camp in the military. The only weapon that I've been trained in is to fight off the bear and the lion that tried to come for my sheep. Now, some people will make you think that because you've been fighting bears and lions that you're not qualified to fight a Goliath. But I'm going somewhere because we fight different. Because you got to understand, me fighting the lion and the bear was my training ground as equivalent to your military boot camp. I have been trained because what I did was I was building courage. I was building confidence. I was at a position where I had built high self-esteem, and I knew how to win. I experienced winning before, so he has a drive in him. He has a zeal in him. This is why he can be small and young, and he can talk big to the giant and talk big to his particular brothers and let him know, I may be small in stature, but I'm big in confidence. I'm big in boldness. I'm big in faith in who I represent. Because he said, if God saved me from the bear and the lion, surely he'll save me from Goliath. So David, he said, Saul, I can't fight with this. He said, my backpack and my slingshot and my stone. So they went out there, and Goliath started taunting David. Was this little, who is this little maggot you coming up here with me with? This little small fry coming against me. I'm a warrior. David did not respond to his threats, because kingdom citizens don't respond to threats. They only engage when the war happens. Come on, Deacon Jerry, you're my war veteran here. You can't play with your weapon, because as soon as you release your weapon, you have to release and you got to begin to use it. You don't pull your weapon out and you're not ready to use it. So David took his stone and his slingshot. Boom. Hit Goliath in the head. He fell out. Now, the thing of it was, I was reading the scripture last night. I said, we sometimes preach that the stone killed him. No, he went and got his sword. Killed him with the sword, and he didn't cut his head off with his own sword. The stone knocked him out. So now, let me give you another example, then I'm going to get into my example. Let's go to Judges. That was in 1 Samuel 17. You want to reference it, go look at it later on. But let's go to Judges chapter 7. You ain't got to go to any Bible. Let's go check out Gideon. Gideon fought different. Because kingdom citizens fight different. David fought different. He didn't go and fight like Goliath was fighting. Now here comes Gideon. And God says, listen, I'm choosing you to go ahead on and fight the Moabites. The Midianites. I need you to fight the Midianites and take them out. And he said, I need you to get some soldiers together, get some people together. Gideon's army was starting off about 22,000 soldiers. Started up way up there, 22,000, 32,000, whatever. It came down. God said, you got too many. Send them home. You got too many. Send them home. He got all the way down to 300. And Gideon like, God, man, that's a whole lot of them Midianites. You know, and I grew up on Inglewood. It was a house, the Jacksons. They was real rowdy. And we say, it's a bunch of them Jacksons. Them jokers was rough. It was about 10 of them. You know, then they had nieces, nephews, aunt, you know, about 20 people live in one house, and they just ran the whole block. You know, everybody's scared of the Jacksons. Oh, mess around with them niggas. Because, you know, if one of them start fighting, everybody fight with them. Y'all know how it go. Y'all come on. Act like y'all ain't lived in the suburbs your whole life. Y'all know about them Jacksons, them Joneses, them Williamsons, them Johnsons, them folks that stay up there over there on cross. But don't you mess with them. So Gideon's like, the Midianites is rolling deep, God. If you ain't looked around and seen how many folk in their army, and you want me to come up here with 300 people and fight them, that don't add up, God. I know you smart and intelligent, and you know the Almighty God, but this don't look right. I'm just paraphrasing, adding my stuff to story so you can get a full understanding. So God gives Gideon a strategy. He said, now you got enough people. He told Gideon to now break those groups down to threes. Three groups of hundreds. One group had the lanterns in their hand. One group had the torches in their hand. The other groups had the ram's horn. He said, now, and this is the other part. He told Gideon, he said, if you don't believe me, he said, go down there with your buddy and spy out and overhear what they're saying. and they overheard the person talking about a dream they had that the Israelites were going to overtake them.
Yeah.
And so that gave Gideon confidence and reassurance because God knew. He was like, you know, look, God, you know, there's 300 of us. You want us to go against the Midianites? It's like 10, 20, 30,000 of them. They rolled deep. So he said, I'm going to give you some reassurance. That's how gracious God is.
Yes.
So he heard, overheard the conversation. He got some reassurance, got the confidence, and then he gave him a strategy. He broke them up in three groups, get the ram's horn, get the clay jars, and get those particular torches. And they went down, listen to this, after midnight. I told you, you got to be willing to fight different. Some of y'all in the bed at 7, 8:30, 5 o'clock. And sometimes, don't worry, sister, I didn't call no names, sister. I didn't call no names, sister. But you just have an amen right there. So, see, no, but see, they, you know, they're going to be at 7:30, 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock. And DJ going to be up at 4 a.m. every day. Ain't got nowhere to go, nowhere to be. Well, he up before him. He be calling him right there. Hey, what's going on, Pastor? I said, yeah, I'm up. You know, because he up. Oh, I call him 4:30 in the morning. Hey, how you doing? He's wide awake. What you doing? You ain't gotta go to work. Why you up? But that's all. But that's what he does. So anyway, so after midnight, God told him, go stand up on the hill over the camp. And Gideon gave him instruction. He said, when I tell you to blow the ram's horn, when I tell you to drop the lanterns, when I tell you to raise your torches, he said they did all that, and the Midianites turned their weapons on themselves because they thought that there was a whole army overtaking the camp. Here it is. Gideon never used a weapon against them physically. God used the enemy's weapons to take out the enemy because we fight different. Now, let me bring you all the way home and bring you to this thing. Get my pictures ready. I'm going to tell you when to get my three pictures ready, all right? Now, in the natural, this is what, you know, we fight with all this stuff. Guns. Because you never know what you're going to need. Because this is how they fight on the battlefield in war. They got a gun, they got their knife. And this is what they've been trained in. And they know how to use their weapon.
Come on.
What? Ready? And so now, you see that? My bullets. So this is what I've been trained in, and how fight according to the world system. And sometimes, because Goliath fought with something that David wasn't used to, and he told Saul, he said, listen, man, I'm not used to fighting with that. And sometimes there are fights that require swords. And a good soldier is trained in each one of these. And they know how to handle, because different battles require different weapons. But now that I am a born-again believer, I'm no longer fighting with these physical weapons.
Yes.
I can use other weapons, just as God blessed David to use a slingshot and a stone to take Goliath out, just as he took Gideon to use torches, a ram's horn, and to clay jars to break glass and make noise and cause the enemy to turn on themselves. It's the same way that in coming to America that Prince Hakeem took down the robber at the particular restaurant.
Yeah.
Can y'all put my pictures up? And I'm going to explain this, and then we're going to get ready to close this out. How many of you remember coming to America, the scene when the robber came in, played by Samuel Jackson? He came in with a gun to rob the store in the middle of the day. Now, as soon as he came in, throwing out threats, telling them to put the money in the bag, Prince Hakeem is sitting at the table with Lisa McDowell. He was mopping the floor. He has a mop. Y'all remember the scene? Y'all see my picture? Let me get my pointer so y'all, I get a look. So y'all, so I can touch the screen. This is Prince Hakeem sitting at the table with Lisa. He has a mop handle. Now, he chooses to take the mop handle as his weapon. To go against a gun. Because he has been trained to fight different. Oh my God. So now after he unscrews the mop handle from the mop, now he comes boldly, not afraid. He told Lisa, "Excuse me, I'll be back in one moment. Excuse me, I'll be back in one moment." And he got up from the table. I mean, he's mannerable in the midst. He's calm.
Yes, because he's confident.
He's confident.
Yes.
He's not fearful. Yes. Oh, I'm going somewhere because he fights different. Now, listen, he's in a whole other culture, a whole other world, whole other atmosphere. But how he's been trained in the kingdom has prepared him to fight against anything that comes his way.
Yes.
Because if you've been trained with a knife, a sword, a gun, whatever you've been trained in, you have to be willing to make adjustments and fight whatever's available to you. So he took the mop stick. And he comes against the gun. The gun is pointing at him. Now, I couldn't play this clip because it was real profanity in this part. You know, we slipped in the D word last week, but I couldn't slip in them M-ups and all my stuff. And we in church. So Samuel is pointing the gun at him. And notice how Prince Hakeem, I had a screenshot of it, but he was calm. He said, "I'm only going to tell you one time. I'm going to ask you to put the weapon down." He was calm and cool. He was like, "Who is you? I'm going to kill you, Samuel Jackson." Now, Simi has already come into agreement with Prince Hakeem without them having a conversation because they've been training together. Oh, my God. Because as kingdom citizens, you should have a prayer partner that's willing to fight with you, that can be willing to pick up on some stuff that's going on in your life without you telling them, because that's your intercessory prayer partner. That's somebody that's covering you. That's somebody that's assigned to you to be your spiritual confidant, your spiritual person in the spirit to help pray for you and guide you. So Simi is behind the corner, behind the counter, scoping the whole thing, waiting on Prince Hakeem's move. So what does Prince Hakeem do? He takes his mop stick and he said, "If you don't put the weapon down, I'll be forced to thrash you." Now, he's using Zamunda language that he's used to, thrashing. And Samuel Jackson looked at him like, "He's a fool. What do you mean, thrash me? I got a gun, you got a mop handle. This don't look like an even battle." But anyway, Prince Hakeem thrashes him, breaks him down to the ground. Simi hops on that counter, grabs the gun, and says, "Freeze, you rhinoceros, blah, 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 blah." All the while, Lisa's fiance, Daryl, is hiding in the corner. He's been in this particular environment before because he's from the culture. He knows how people rob and steal and come around and bring threats. But Daryl is hiding in a corner because he's not representing what a kingdom citizen looks like, because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. So Simi's fighting according to the kingdom of Zamunda, the kingdom of God. So when we're faced with challenges of battle, we got to understand, I don't need the sword. I don't have to choose this. I thank God for Apostle Kathy Greenwood gave me this sword years ago, and I still hold on to it. I still know what she prophesied to me about this sword and its representation, and God has done the work through this sword in the spirit. I don't need the gun. My extra clip. I don't need this knife. don't need a helmet. That's not what I need. Because the weapons of my warfare are not carnal. All I need is Jesus, jeans, and Jordans, and to get down on my knees. Heavenly Father, right now, I pray that you will begin to move and you will begin to disrupt the plan of the enemy. God, I ask that you will begin to take care of every person that's come against me. Begin to minister to their heart. Begin to change their ways. Begin to deliver them. Begin to heal them. Father God, I break up every plot, every plan, every strategy of the enemy. I decree and declare that I am victorious. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. That I am the head and not the tail. I am above only and not beneath. I am the first and the last. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I call forth your anointing. I call forth your power. That God, you will begin to bring down every high thought, every high imagination, God, and bring those things into the obedience, into the captivity of the name of Jesus Christ. I speak blessings today. I speak strength today. I speak healing today. I call forth your power, God, because you are my author and finisher of my faith. And God, I come to bless your name. I come to magnify you like never before. And God, it is in Jesus' name that I pray. I don't have to fight in the natural. I fight on my knees in the spirit. And all I need is Jesus, my jeans, my Jordans, whatever I may have on, I can fight the good fight of faith. I can endure hardness as a good soldier. Wherever you find yourself in, I dare you to pick up your weapon of prayer. I dare you to pick up your weapon of fasting. I dare you to pick up the sword and the shield of faith. I dare you to set your feet in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I dare you to operate in the blood of Jesus. Why this shirt is in red? The blood is covering you by the power of the name of Jesus. Because I choose to fight different. I choose to pray. I choose to intercede. When folk told me it was over, when people told me you wasn't going to make it, when people thought you was going to die in the operating table, when people thought that that was your death sentence, when people thought you wasn't going to rise again, I'm here to encourage you, baby, that it was the prayers of the righteous that availeth much. And God will come in and he'll redeem the time. He'll come in and he will heal and restore. Why? Because I serve a great God. I serve an amazing God. I serve an all-powerful, all-knowing God. You said it wasn't going to work? Well, God said it will work. You said I wasn't going to make it? God said I will make it. You said I was going to be broke? No, God said I'm going to be rich. You said I'm going to be the lender and not the borrower. I will be the head and not the tail. If I be willing and obedient, I will eat the good of the land. Oh, and by his stripes, I am healed. Cancer, come out my body. Yeah, diabetes, out my body. High blood pressure, out my body. High cholesterol, out my body. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. God, you're mighty. 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 You're well able to do it, Jesus. You're well able to do it, Father. Do it for your son. Do it for your daughter, God. Be gracious to us, Father. Be merciful unto us, Jesus. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Oh God, we love you. We adore you, Jesus. And we bless your name. Come on, give the Lord a hand. He's mighty to save, mighty to heal, mighty to deliver. That's how confident we should be as Prince Akeem was.
But he was in training. Consistently.
Get your mic. You better get your mic. Get your mic. Get your mic. Get your mic. Help me preach this.
Come help you preach.
but he was consistent in his training. If you remember in the movie, every morning they got up and they trained. And that's how we have to be as kingdom citizens. We have to be consistently training. What's our training? Prayer, reading our word, fast. And that's the training that builds confidence when you come against Goliath, when you come up against the Midianites in your life. You don't have to be afraid because you've been in training and you're confident in what God has put in you.
My God, my God.
We don't get confident, Apostle, in the actual thing. I'm not confident in this gun, in this knife. I'm confident in what I've been trained how to execute that thing. So I've been trained and skilled how to pray and how to use God word against the enemy, because I've been in training, so I know how to execute it well.
My God, my God. Come on.
So it's just a Bible, but once I pick it up and begin to train, the word becomes life. And now when I use it, it becomes a weapon of mass destruction. Glory to God.
I thank God. That's how you finish the word. When your wife can come in and close it out. Listen, I'm telling you, because that's how powerful this word is. That's how powerful that God is moving in our lives. And we have to know that we have to be kingdom citizens and know that we fight different.
Yes.
I know people trying to tell you, why are you still there? Why are you still doing that? Why are you still there? Because I'm still waiting. I'm still praying. I'm still believing. I'm still believing my change coming. I'm still believing. I'm still believing. More than Hannah do. Hannah went up every year to be insulted and talked about. But she got to a point in place, she said, I'm getting up from the table of all this complaining and all this other stuff of y'all talking about me. I'm going to pray. And when she got into prayer, got in the presence of God, God began to move on her behalf.
Yes.
God began to respond to her prayer. See, he's not responding to your tears and you crying and throwing a pity party and tickle tender. God said, I respond at the, he said, the angels hearken at my word. So how can your angels be placed on assignment if you haven't assigned them the word of God to go forth with? You got to release the word. Man, this thing, y'all, we got to go home, y'all. Because I got something else I got to tell you. We got to go home. God is amazing. He is so faithful. He's so kind to us, Mother Simmons. He's so good to us. So blessed. So amazing, Sister Juanita. So powerful, Brother Steve. So listen, the Holy Spirit told me to share this morning.
Hallelujah.
Many of y'all know that if I have a dream and God really just allows me to remember those things in details, it's something significant that he wants me to get out of it. And early this morning, I had a dream last night or whatever, and I woke up and I started talking to God and asking, well, what does this mean? What is this? What's going on? And so in this dream, I was at this church service. I don't know, it wasn't in our building. I was at a visiting church, but the chairs were all, you know, all the seating was in the middle of this sanctuary. And as I recall, I believe there were a lot of women that they were praying, but they were passing the mic. You know, one person would pray, the next person would pray back to back. And they would kind of walk around the sanctuary, passing the mic and praying. And I went to the back of the church and ran into a person that, I'm not going to call their name, but they're not a part of the ministry anymore. And I asked them, I said, why did you leave? I hugged them. I said, why did you leave? And the person said, I didn't find any lust in you. And so, and I said, what? I got a little closer. I said, what did you, what do you mean? What did you say? the person said, I didn't find any lust in your heart. They began to touch it, my chest. I didn't find any lust in your heart. That's why I left. And so I said, God, okay, what are you saying? Because what happens is people think that lust is automatically tied to sexual. Lust is just not sexual.
Amen.
The Bible says that the lust of the eye and the pride of life draws you into that particular temptation. Because we're not tempted of God. It says that the lust of the eye, the pride of life, draws you away and draws you into that temptation. And so when I woke up and the people who were praying and walking around, they were kind of like, you know, kind of off. They weren't praying effectively to a certain extent. Anyway, all women were praying. A lot of women congregated. The body of Christ represents a lot of women, and a lot of women are in a part of churches in the body of Christ. So anyway, I'm asking God, I said, God, what are you saying? And God said that what has happened is that people, and me and Pastor, we were talking about this even that night, but people and leadership and pastors have been drawn away by the lust of the flesh. And they have allowed the lust of material things, the lust of power, the lust of status, the lust of notoriety and prestige to pull them away from what the call of being a shepherd is, what the call of being a pastor is, what the call of being a leader is. And so this has caused this particular disconnect of people from the body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit reminded me, Prophetess Karen, of even when you had the dream about the woman at the stairs who was dressed provocatively and the lust, and you were calling for the men to try to deal with that particular spirit that was going on. Because God said that there have been people that have been sent in the ministry that tried to get me to get caught up in status and power and notoriety and different things, and I didn't fall for it. So God said that lust was not in your heart.
Amen.
I need you to hear me because this is prophetic, and I need you to hear because God said, he told me to share it with the congregation. I wasn't even going to share it on the live, but he said share it so everybody can hear it. So he began, I said, God, I said, what are you even the more? He said, because just as we were talking, and we were talking about Jesus, why he came in on a donkey, didn't come in on the kings and on the horse and chariots, because people get attracted to that attractiveness of the status of the material things. And they start off running well. Oh, foolish Galatian, who has bewitched you that you do not now believe the truth? And so God said, Holy Spirit began to minister. He said, just as what happened, and I was watching a clip yesterday about the Hillsong falling and the leader. And one of the pastors who had become along, because what would happen is pastors that were, or churches that were, maybe they were striving, but they were just growing. And they were, you know, and they saw Hillsong. Hillsong would come in and say, well, you can be a part of our organization. And people were attracted because Hillsong was growing so fast. And the pastors wanted to be a part of that organization because it was growing so fast. And they began to be attached to them. And then all of a sudden now, they monies they couldn't get access to. And then some of those churches would begin to shut down. And certain things would begin to happen. And so one of the pastors that used to be an under Hillsong, and they had a church in Ukraine, in Kiev, the capital country. In Ukraine, and they had left that country, and some of the administrators in the Hillsong were giving them threatening emails and said, because they left the country and came to America, they said, well, we got people in America that you can, you know, they'll deport you and get you back and all this other stuff. So now they've been in the country for 8 years, and his wife has gotten citizenship or got her green card. Now they can talk out and speak out about it. And he said, Brian Houston was so driven to success. Y'all got to hear me. This is prophetic because God is speaking to the body of Christ as a whole.
Amen.
And what happens is pastors, leaderships, they get caught up and driven to the success, and they lose the insight of what true ministry is all about. It's about the people.
Yes.
And God said, the lust was not in your heart for that. What I do and how God has blessed me to pastor the people is about the people. I'm not attracted to the status, the power, the recognition, none of those things. And God said, when you have a true man or woman of God that's standing in that, you have to appreciate them and show them their worth. I'm telling you what Holy Spirit said. Because I'm telling you, there are so many pastors that are abusing God's people. And God is just exposing what's been going on with this thing with Brian Houston and Hillsong and various things. Some of those pastors said before Hillsong came in, we were doing well. We were good. They were at the size that God designed them to be at. Yeah. But people get attracted to numbers and they want to be bigger. From day one, I've always said, I told people, I said, I'm not out here. When I first got out here, people think, I can't steal your members. I can't. How can I steal something that don't belong to me? How can I try to steal something that don't belong to you?
That's right.
What happens is people go where they're being fed because the Bible says the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He leading me by the green pastures and the still waters. If there's a place and you leave in chaos, confusion, and you come over here in still waters, green grass, baby, you're going to eat where you feel comfortable at. I didn't steal you. You just came where you were able to be fed at because everywhere else you was getting fed chaos, confusion, drama, all the mess and madness. So I can't steal your member. And I've always said, I said, God, when we came in, I said, God, I don't want to grow too fast. I said, I want to grow at the pace that you designed for me to grow at. Because when I came in, I had little children. Yeah. My kids were smaller. And that's what the Lord been revealing me, even at, when we were at God's house of prayer for 6 years. God was cultivating us. I couldn't handle 200, 300 members with small babies.
Amen.
Y'all missing this. I'm teaching way better than you understanding me better. Because so many leaderships and pastors missed out on their family trying to chase success, and now they're regretting the time that they missed, and now their kids bitter and upset at them. So God was ministering. He said, and that's, I said, I don't want to, I said, God, I said, send the people that you ordained to be a part of this ministry. Dick and Jerry, and I said that from day one. I said, whoever God has ordained to be in this place is going to be here. And I said, and some people only come for a season. Amen. There are people that have come and they've gone. And some people came with agendas. And when their agenda couldn't be met, they left.
Say that again.
When their agendas couldn't be met, they left. Because the enemy was trying to get me to get into the place of having the lust in my heart for the prestige and the status and the power and the control of it. Some people like to be under abusive leadership.
Yes.
Because that's what they've known. And you get somebody that love on you and care for you, it's like an abusive relationship. You've been in a domestic violence relationship all your life, and somebody comes along, want to take you to dinner, treat you nice, buy you things, and treat you real nice and kind, give you kind words, you trip out on them. I'm used to getting slapped every now and then. Can you slap me every other day? So I can feel like I'm worth something. What kind of foolishness is that? We become accustomed to the abuse. So the last thing that I'm sharing in this is that this is not boasting or bragging on me, but I thank God for what God's grace has given me to pastor people. Many of you all talk to other memberships. What I mean, other people from other ministries. You ain't got to raise your hand. But how many people, when you had COVID, did not text you or call you or reach out to you some kind of way through Messenger? Because just say yes. Because there's a lot of people here that had COVID. When it was time that you may have needed something for prayer, whatever it may be. If you got my phone number, you got my email, or you got my inbox, do you not inbox me? Yeah. Call me?
Yeah.
Do I not respond?
Yeah.
How many churches were you under? Now listen at this. A couple of Thanksgiving ago, I called every member on the roster and said, Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I didn't have to do that, but the Holy Spirit told me to do it because you have to shepherd the sheep.
Yeah.
Because I'm not here for the status, the notoriety, or the fame. I'm here because I love the people.
Yes.
And what happens is, I'm sharing this because people in the body of Christ need to know. Because they will feed, take care of, pump pump up the person that's abusing it. Brian Houston got, they got stuff. It's a man that had been investigating. He had been doing research on him. He didn't even know. He's not an authority figure, nothing. He's just a man that started investigating and following Hillsong, all the properties they were ascertaining. Because these churches, they were ascertaining properties and hiding them in charities so they couldn't be taken away. Because the church don't pay taxes on certain buildings and different things. They don't pay taxes, building taxes. So even now they can hide these buildings where if somebody sued the church, they couldn't take those things. They have a whole scheme developed. Not one time did I tell you, give me, when we raise money for the chairs, pay $80, whatever it was we paid, $65, $80, and we're going to buy the chairs. If I took the, if we took the money, the church did, not me, because I ain't got no access to the money. If the church took the money and we never bought a chair, something wrong. When we take money for outreach and we's doing Operation Off all year, we give away 2 cars a month. And you don't never see nothing go up. We don't gave away no cars. You ain't never heard nothing. You ain't never seen nothing. Well, what is $1,200 out of here with? What I'm saying is, when people are showing forth integrity and accountability, you need to be thankful.
Yes.
I'm helping somebody get free because somebody's in bondage to some leadership that they're not accountable, they're not transparent, they're not honest, and they're fleecing the people, taking advantage of the people, and then we'll sit back and say, well, I didn't know where $3 went. Well, that other church took $3 million of your dollars and you ain't asked them not that question. What happened to the 50 cent for the paper towel? The paper towel? Them jokers just robbed you of a whole building and you still there worshiping and praising them and sowing your tithes and offering and talking about, well, we gonna make it through, and he just going through a phase. A phase. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, give the Lord a hand, please. In no means am I perfect. I'm flawed. I've done some jacked up things. So don't think that. That's not what I'm saying. I ain't perfect. Far from it. But I take accountability for my actions. You didn't have to wait days and weeks for it to come on the news when that thing happened to me in 2020. I sent out an email to everybody, not just to the board or to the leadership team. Everybody got an email. The next day it happened, when I got out. Couldn't send an email from in there. You hear me? Freedom is here. My bondage is gone. Amen. But you have to be accountable and be transparent.
That's right.
And that begins to show forth that people can trust you again. Amen.
Amen.
Now get a seed in your hand. I don't know who I'm going to sow into, but God said get a seed in your hand. And we're going to go home. We did good, y'all.
Yeah.
I got to see. I'm telling you, God is amazing. If you got a dollar, a couple of dollars, $10, $5, sow a seed real quick. We're going to go home. Are there any first-time guests here today? First-time visitor? We got a first-time visitor. Amen. Can you please stand, first-time guest? Amen. Amen. What we would ask is that you would just give us your name, how you heard about the ministry, or who invited you out, and how you enjoyed the service. So,
my name is Sheila Jones. I live down the street. I walked in this morning. I have been searching for a church for quite a long time. I was a member of New Beginnings Church in Chicago. And I moved from Chicago to Texas. I've experienced a lot of good things and bad things in my life, but I stepped away from the church for a while because I kept asking why when I should have been on my knees asking why.
Come on, woman of God.
I'm like a real circle. I'm right back where I started from. So last week I said I want to start going back to church. I Googled, I looked around, because I just Googled over here in June. You're June since I've been living over here. And I seen your church. So I passed by here one going back to the Grand Jesus. I said, And I don't need no more for this. I said, I'm going back to church. That's what I said. It's too free.
Come on.
And
as I say, you say your name Jones. We Joneses. Y'all can do better than that, amen.
Amen.
That's a blessing. Now,
I'm a person. I love people. I love to help me so much. I work in a nursing home. I don't get a work in progress. I keep looking at you. Were you the gentleman standing in the door when I walked in here this morning?
No, I think that was my son. Yeah, that's my son. I'm so glad you said that, Sashita, because everybody think he like me, my wife. And see, that's you, the second person said he look like me. So God bless the minutes too. Amen. Amen. Don't sit down yet, Sashita. I'm going to pray for you before you sit down. But I appreciate you. And God just always sets things up. Because everything that I shared was her testimony. Got out of church, left church, different things go on, happen. Then came from Chicago to back in living in Joliet. And the Holy Spirit had been ministering to me of I don't know how to find a way to really get our name in these apartment buildings out here. Because it's a lot of unsaved folk right up in this little circle. We ain't got to go far. Because it's people in these buildings, in these houses right here. Our previous location, we were in the park district. So we were in the woods. So the squirrels was already saved. The raccoons was baptized, speaking in tongues over there. So it wasn't. Sister Winter, you bet not laugh. You bet not. It's good to see you. But as you were just sharing and what God is doing, there are a lot of people that have that same story and same, you know, experience with the things of God and church and different things and working. But you said, okay, I'm going to get to church and this my weekend off. You made the sacrifice. You said, I got to do something for me.
Amen.
So right now, I'm just going to pray. So Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for Sister Sheila. I thank you, Lord, for leading and guiding her to this place. I thank you, Lord, that when she went to the website, she found information that she could use to guide her and get her here. I thank you that our website was intact and in place. I thank you that we had the resources and income to keep those things moving and in place. And God, I thank you that we were able to have the building that she was able to come into. And that God, I thank you that as she came through the doors, I pray that you met her here. That even as you met her here, God, that even the greeters met her and greeted her, and the ushers and all the congregation, we welcomed her today. And God, you know the petitions and prayer requests that she has on her heart today. I ask that you begin to grant her her heart's desires, that you begin to mend the hurts, heal the wounds, heal the disappointments, the rejections, the letdowns. That God, she will continue to move forward and run this race. And that God, you will give her strength in her body. That Lord, as she's a nurse in the natural, God, I pray that Lord, everything in her own life, spiritually, physically, emotionally, God, is well and intact and whole. I break every assignment, every trick, every trap of the enemy that will try to bring discouragement, disappointment, frustration, anxiety. Lord, we release peace. We release joy. We release blessing. I decree that all of her needs are met. That everything she touches shall prosper. And that God, even on her every other weekends that she works, God, I pray that the work will be blessed. I pray that it will be easy. I pray that, Lord, she will have encounters to share your good news and share her story and to begin to be a blessing to others. And that in return, people will also be a blessing unto her. And God, we seal her in the blood. And we bind every attack of the enemy. That she is blessed, whole, healed, and an amazing woman of God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We give God glory today. We got our seed, Deacon Ryan. Don't worry about the math. Don't worry about it. Come on with it. Whatever you, they gonna count it and they gonna know what's in there. It don't matter to me. Hey. you work in NICO with meters. You know, it's okay that these numbers don't look like meter numbers. I understand. It's no big deal, Deacon Ryan. You're anointed in that other stuff, though. But I'm grateful for what God is doing and how God is blessing his people. Sister Melissa, I'm telling you, God get ready to bless you so big this week. I don't know where it's coming, but that thing has been released.
Amen.
I saw it on you. I saw that thing at that moment. My God, my God. Jesus. He said, rejoice with those who rejoice. Because if it's being released for her, that means he's in the neighborhood. And whatever's been held up for you is coming your way. And I believe the power of God, it'll be released for you as it's being released for her. We just gotta trust God and believe him like never before. He is mighty, he is powerful, and worthy to be praised. My God, my God. Hi. Glory to God. Jesus, my God, my God. I love God, woman of God. Ain't he good? He just good. Y'all trying to start something. We got to go home now. Sister Sheila, we saw this seed in your life today. I I'm telling you, you don't never know what God will do while you was walking past this place. This place look too good. It look too well. Put the color in. Oh, there's some fire that anointed that over. Something going on. So, listen. What's happened since the last time you were here? Now, you were here before a while back. What has transpired since then? Because there's some things that have happened. And I just believe God has really begun to move in some areas that you need Him to move in. Whatever you can share, just quick. Just.
I had just lost my job. And you had spoke a word over me. You had spoke favor over me. And the job that I actually got, it was God. I know it was God. I did not have the qualifications or the degree to get the job.
Amen.
But God opened up the door. And I know it was God because I wasn't going to start orientation because the lady kept telling me, well, you don't have the credentials that we need for you to, you know, be able to start the job. And I said, okay, well, I guess I'm just going to have to just pass this up. And the lady called me that Friday. And she said, we're going to let you start orientation until you get what you need. And I started orientation, and that was on March the 7th. So God opened up that door for me, and I thank you for the word that you ministered over me, because I do believe favor.
Yes.
Everybody has favor on their lives, but if you're obedient to the word of God, He's going to give you things that you don't even qualify for. Whatever your need is, God will meet your need.
Yeah.
You have to be obedient. You have to stand on the word of God.
Yeah.
Don't never waver.
Yeah.
My God. God is amazing. Amen, God. He good. Because the Holy Spirit prompted me to just ask her what happened since the last time you were here. And so God will just confirm what He does. And all we have to do is believe.
Yes.
That's a fact.
And there's some time in between from when you were here, because March was just last month. So you was in a waiting period. Some time went by. That was, you went out of work a couple of months. It was a good while ago when you were here. God was just moving and blessing and encouraging and favoring. God said, just as He did it with that job, He'll do it with everything else.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Come on, Minister Glory.
I don't know, but I'm crying for you. Oh, the
formed
against you shall prosper.
No weapon formed against you shall prosper. It's done, saith the Lord. My God. I know that He know that's God. I know. The backdrop, but I'm telling you, God is amazing.
Yes.
He'll give you what you need. My God, my God. God will raise up somebody that will cry out for you. That's the intercession. Cry out for you. We don't know what we need to pray, but then the Holy Ghost, God knows. Sister Melissa, anything you want to share? Because we're going to go home.
I think it was last week. No, the week before, when he asked for a testimony. There was a reason why I woke up and wasn't feeling well. That's why I wasn't here. For me to quickly, you all, I know. The word that came across, thank you, God. I have been laboring in the spirit for a while. God has done miraculous things in my life just quickly. When I first got here, my sister brought me here, and I was looking for a church. And let me just say this, there's a reason why I wasn't attending. Because of what you said today, and you have been saying in your series, that some in leadership are not leading in a proper way. And years ago, me and some friends went to a church, and I just want to say, God has delivered me, and I pray that he delivers them as well, but God has delivered me from a life of homosexuality. Is I didn't ask. What I asked for was whatever, Lord, that is in me, because I still had pride and arrogance on me, because I didn't want to be seen or deemed as a person that was sinful. Because when you're told something, living that life, as I say in the church, the pastor told all of us that if you in there, you in the choir, you in the band, you got to get out of here. So the abuse that verbally, that people, and I'm saying this because we need to do it in love. The sin is the truth, and we even know it deep down inside, and that's what my pride and arrogance was telling me. But I was holding on to it. But God delivered. I didn't know what he was doing, you all. I didn't know what he was doing, but I know that he sat me down, and I was in incubation for over a year. I didn't go nowhere. I didn't do nothing. I just talked to certain people, but he was working in me, but I didn't know that that's what it was. And it wasn't just that. It was a lot of things that he changed in me. But I've always wanted to build on in business and not for profit. And I see now that those things, as well as others, God had to purge out of me to bring me what just Apostle just said, that it is now that he will release it for me. And I am more than grateful. I am not deserving, but I will do all that he wants me to do. I will be. Glory to God. If there's anybody in here that knows someone who struggles with homosexuality. You can talk to me. They can talk to me. Because I understand now. He had a purpose for me. It wasn't just about... It wasn't just about the sin. It's this testimony on this day. He wants to show his power. He showed his power through me. I have been active in the life since I was 17. Since I was 17. So I know that he can do it. He can do anything, not just that. He can do all things. And I give him the glory, and I thank you for listening. I love you all. God bless you.
At the end of service, every woman that feels led, just hug on Sister Melissa before you walk out the door. Because I believe God is doing something amazing. I've never been pastoring for next year, be 20 years. No one has ever had that type of confidence and boldness to stand up in the midst of the congregation on a Sunday morning and share and bear their heart of truth. Because your boldness and confidence today has broken yokes. Yes. You don't know what I'm dealing with personally. In my own family.
Come on.
And I told my wife, yeah, I said, he'll bring it to your house so you'll know that God will do it. So God will let you know that he'll do it. So if you didn't help nobody else, you helped me. Do it with a smile. I don't know what God's doing in this place. All I know is it's amazing. The thing that's on this ministry that was upon my life from when God called me to start pastoring, and it's still there. The name of our first ministry when we started pastoring and started church was God's House of Prayer and Restoration Ministries. And God said that restoration will follow me. Because the people who got sent to this place were so many people who had been hurt from the church, disappointed in the church, abused, whatever it may have been. And God said this will be a place of restoration for them. And there are many people around in this ministry that Melissa can talk to, Sister Sheila can talk to, that have been in bad spaces. But God has restored. Mother Betty, who's no longer here anymore, when I first got out here, she had been mistreated by a few churches. Older white lady. She said, Pastor, she said, you helped me to believe and trust men and God, men of God again. She said, I wasn't going to love another pastor again. She told me that. And she said, but you've allowed me to love again and love pastors again. because you have to show forth the love of God and bring forth restoration. People need healing.
Yes.
People need to know they can be encouraged. And then at the end of the day, oh, I'm telling you, the liberty that it takes, that has to be in a place for her to share that. That you don't come here next week looking at cross-eyed. Come on, you don't want to sit next to her. Real men wear pink. This still my brother. Still gonna put my arms around him. I still gonna put my arms around her. She hugged me. I'm gonna hug him. It's well. It's all good. I haven't seen my brother, but he's here today. I'm hugging on him. God bless you. Good to see you. What? We got to grow up, church, body of Christ.
Yes.
Because people are hurting. We don't know what brought her to that place at 17 years old, but thank God for deliverance today. Yes. Sister Bridget, go ahead. I'm going to get you a mic. Deacon Ryan's coming with a mic.
Talking about the dream that you had and how that the woman was saying to you what wasn't in your heart. God said to me, and you know how I am, I'm like, I just gotta make sure. But you kept saying things even after that confirmed that what God wanted me to say to you is that your heart is perfect towards Him. Your heart is perfect towards Him.
Receive it. Thank you, woman of God. Prophet Victoria, go ahead.
I just wanted to tell the young lady that gave her testimony from Dr. Musty. And I just wanted to tell you that God said, hold your head up high. If anybody shuns you the next week or the next time you come, you have nothing to be ashamed of. We overcome with the blood of the Lamb, of the giving of our testimony. You gave your testimony and you setting somebody else free. You didn't release that into this atmosphere. And if somebody else gonna be set free from your testimony. Don't worry about who shuns you the next time they see you. Cause you've been set free. In the name of Jesus.
Because whom the Son is set free is free indeed. We don't have no freedom or liberty to deal with. Listen, y'all, we got to go. Let's stand on our feet. Prophet Ken, you got anything you need to share before we go? Prophet Hattie? Prophet Flo? God met us in this place today.
Yes.
And I'm just grateful for being obedient. Because if I didn't share my dream and share the things of what God is dealing with me with and how He's speaking and ministering to me, then people won't know that there's healing and restoration.
Amen.
You know how many years you've been holding on to what happened at that church? And this is why we have to be mindful. I know sometimes that we just have to be taught. That's all. It's just another level of having compassion. Jesus had that compassion on the least of them that people thought that He should have had compassion on. So kingdom citizen was in full operation and manifestation in this place today. We fight different. We share testimonies. That's our warfare. Victory is ours. I believe everybody under the sound of my voice is saved. Is anybody under my sound of my voice that's not saved, that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? If there's anybody watching online, real quick, we're going to take you through the sinner's prayer. If you're watching online and you don't know Jesus, I want you to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, come into my heart, come into my mind, come into my spirit. Fill me this day with the precious power of your Holy Spirit. As I come to you as a sinner, I ask you to forgive me my sins. Have mercy on my soul. And God, I invite you into my heart. I confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died and he rose for my sins. And today I accept you and receive you as my personal Lord and Savior.
Yes,
Lord. And God, I ask that you will fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. That God, I may operate and live a life that's pleasing to you. And today I declare that I am saved.
Yes.
And we decree and declare that you are saved. If you went through that prayer and released those words, we seal you in the blood. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word today. We thank you for everything our eyes have seen, our ears have heard. We thank you for this time of Family and Friends Day. We thank you for our visitors, God, our friends that are close and far and near. We ask that you will lead and guide us throughout the rest of our day, God, to lead and guide us safely home. We ask you to bind all car troubles, all accidents, all traffic tickets, Father. Loose safety for us, loose peace, prosperity, and guide us for throughout the day and throughout the week. And we ask for and call for unexpected income, increase, promotion, and favor to flow in our lives. And God, we love you. We honor you, and we give you all the praise. And as we leave this place, keep us protected and keep watch over us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a great week. Facebook and YouTube.